Good day, folks. This is Shane Hasty for the InfoQ Culture Podcast. I'm talking with Jeff Foster of Redgate. Jeff, welcome. Nice to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, fantastic to be here.
So, Jeff, you are the head of product engineering at Redgate.
That's correct.
Do you want to tell us first a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Redgate?
So I'm Jeff, as you already know. I'm head of product engineering here at Redgate. So what that really means is I help the software engineers at Redgate write better code, work together better, and all the other things you need to do to produce that ingeniously simple software that Redgate's renowned for. In terms of what Redgate does, we're kind of the industry standard tooling for SQL Server delivery and SQL Server development. So we're at the forefront of supporting that whole DV DevOps and giving people that confidence they can change their database as easily as they change their code.
Which is an interesting challenge at the best of times.
Yes, that's definitely true. I think database developers and software developers are kind of at different levels of maturity on this journey to DevOps.
And we might explore that in a little while. So how did you get to where you are today?
Let's go right the way back and tell the story. So I started off as a researcher. I did a PhD in recognizing people by the way they walk, which is a very bizarro world PhD to do. But really, I've always loved writing software. So I've gone from a various software development jobs, from stitching together images from outer space, to working on Java development tools at a small startup, to working on giant enterprise software. And I guess what I've learned from that journey is the best software is software that people use. And that's why I was attracted to Redgate. Redgate still focuses on end user tools. And there's nothing that beats that thrill of writing a line of code and getting it actually used by a customer. Over the last few years at Redgate, I've worked on SQL Source Control, SQL Compare, and eventually somehow ended up in a position of management as head of software engineering and then head of product engineering. I just really enjoy the thrill of leveling up other people and helping them get better at what they do.
So what is it that makes a great engineer?
That's a really good question, and it's one I've struggled with. I guess I used to think a really great software engineer was someone that understood everything about software. They could trot out design pattern X, Y, and Z. They knew their big O from their elbow. They had all the tools and techniques of computer science at their fingertips to really powerfully write code. But as I've got older and maybe wiser, I've realized that the only secret to great engineering is simplicity. That's the only thing you need to focus on. From simplicity, everything else follows. So that's our kind of guiding policy at Redgate, is keep it simple.
One of the 10 principles of the Agile Manifesto. Well, the 10th principle of the Agile Manifesto.
Indeed.
Simplicity, the art of maximizing the amount of work not done. As you were saying, making sure engineers write great code and work together in great ways. In a leadership capacity, how do you create the space to do that?
I think you've hit the nail on the head straight away with creating the space. One of the first things I lobbied for when I joined this role at Redgate was the introduction of 10% time. So that's 10% time is time for every engineer at Redgate to invest in their own learning and development. And initially, that sounds really, really simple, right? Give people 10% time and magic will happen. But I guess we quickly realized that giving people the space isn't enough. You need to give them some structure to hang that 10% time on to make the best possible use of it. And we've tried various ways of doing that. We've tried sounding a horn at 1 o'clock on a Friday just to remind everyone that it's 10% time and then magically expecting people to start learning. But that hasn't worked or hadn't worked. We really struggled to get people to engage with that 10% time.
Yeah, we're busy.
Exactly. And no matter how hard you try, people take their deadlines to heart. So, you know, Agile is all about sustainable pace. But if you try and give people space to do that, their natural inclination is still to work on the things that they've committed to for that sprint. So we really had to try and find some way of breaking people out of the grind of doing their daily work and kind of set up a new context for them to learn and develop. So around about the end of 2017, a colleague, Ian Johnson, and I had the idea of running an internal conference. So one way of doing that you might be familiar with is an open space session.
Yep.
So for those that don't know, an open space event is essentially a self-organizing conference. It takes about 10 minutes to form a conference program that's bespoke to the individuals that are attending. So we started running those open space events at Redgate at 10% time. And there was a bit of confusion about what those events are. If you've not attended one of those before, it can be quite overwhelming. But we ran that a few times and we got pretty good at it. We got people attending. We got communities of practice sort of spontaneously forming around the topics in the open space. We had some great demonstrations. I remember one session on Kubernetes introduced by the team, which was amazing. I would have never sort of found that opportunity to learn and develop if I was just searching that out on my own. And this went well. And we thought, well, okay, we want to continuously improve the way we do learning and development. So what's the next step? And then one thing led to another. And we ended up just deciding that wouldn't it be cool if we had an all-day Redgate conference? What would be cool if we took people completely out of the office to a completely new environment and just spent a whole day focusing on learning and development? And then we Googled around and we found that conference facilities were actually relatively reasonably priced. So we went off and booked those. And then we kind of forgot about it for a bit. Because, you know, maybe a conference is just an open space on steroids, right? You don't need a lot of preparation to do that. This is how our naive self decided that we'd do this.
And ooh, having organized a few conferences, you're in for a surprise.
Yes. There's a phenomenon here that I think is really interesting, which is if I'd have known how much effort this was, we wouldn't have done it. But there's that kind of superpower of naivety and collective delusion that it's actually easy. So we booked the conference venue just before Christmas. And then, well, then Christmas happened. And then New Year planning happened. And before we knew it, it was 3 weeks to the conference. And we'd not really done anything at all about this, which was a great way of forcing some creativity and involving everyone in getting that conference working. So a few weeks beforehand, the leadership team at Redgate, so that's myself, Matt Godfrey, Chris Smith, and Elizabeth, kind of sat down and we realized we had a date in our diary for this conference and that no one had a clue what on earth we were going to do for this. So this was a great opportunity for us to get together, bond, and do some seriously hard work. But before that, we managed to push out that deadline even further by kind of keeping true to that spirit of bike shedding. We designed a logo and a name. Because obviously you need a logo and a name before you work out what you're going to do, right?
Right, yeah.
And this is how Redgate's Level Up conference came to be. It was a venue housing Classic Plains, known as Duxford. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd riff on that theme and have a snazzy logo of aeroplanes taking off and have the metaphor of people leveling up. By the time we'd done all this, we realized that the only way this conference was going to succeed was if we started to involve the whole of the division in preparing that. At this point, we knew we loved the open space format, but an open space and a conference, we weren't confident that we could extend that format out over an entire day and map balance a fair range of sessions across everything. So we decided that we'd build this conference around sharing all the work that's done across all of the roles at Redgate within product development. So we broadened it out to include not only the software engineers, but also product managers, user experience, and development leads at Redgate. And we also tried to set out the philosophy. So I think when some people hear about L&D, they just imagine sitting in a lecture hall, just consuming content by other people. And that content will somehow magically be absorbed and, you know, be used in their day-to-day work. But that kind of training isn't the training we wanted. We wanted training around sharing, not teaching. We wanted a mixture of different formats to match everyone's learning styles. And the reason we did that is we wanted the best chance of learning taking root and being ready to use in the teams. So we tried to keep some focus on this, the conference as well. So we themed three sort of tracks around some of the challenges facing Redgate. So those challenges were Redgate's hugely successful at the moment. So we need to look at the challenges of scaling. How do we grow to be a bigger development organization? part of our USP as a brand is building ingeniously simple software, software that's so simple people are passionate enough to get a tattoo of it on their arm. It's a story for another day. And also we've realized the only way we can truly build ingeniously simple software is if we focus on the outcome, not the output. So this is an interesting area as well, but we want our teams not to focus on the backlog items they're completing. We want them to focus on the difference they're making for the end user. So with those three themes of scaling, excellence, and outcomes, this feels like we had learning and development with purpose. And it was learning and development that was built for teams, not just individuals. So that brought us to our next challenge is how on earth do we make a full day of content on three tracks? So we harnessed the collective mind of Redgate's product division. And over a period of a couple of weeks, we asked them to start sharing the sessions they'd like to see at the conference. So we created a whiteboard space and we asked everyone three simple questions. What can you share? What techniques do you learn? Or do you know that would be of benefit to the rest of the organization? But also, what do you want to learn? If this was the perfect conference and it was just for you, what would be the items you'd be learning? And then also, we wanted to use this opportunity of getting everyone out of the office to surface any kind of lingering problems that might be happening across the teams that are difficult to hear about. So we asked everyone, what problems should we tackle head on? Fast forwarding a week, and we generated a humongous wall of post-its. There was a humongous participation from everyone across the business to highlight areas that we could talk about. So we took those ideas and we categorized them according to our objectives around scaling, excellence, and impact. And this brought our next set of problems. We had the worry that how on earth would we fill just a single day of conference sessions. By the time we'd selected everyone giving us what they'd like to learn, we had enough to fill a week of conference sessions. So this is the happiest problem in the world.
Yep.
We asked people to vote on those sessions, but then there were a hugely number of high voted sessions. We kind of briefly looked at each other and thought, well, maybe we could do a 5-day conference. How insane would that be? But luckily, the answer was that that was far too insane. So we had to pick that small subset of awesome topics for our first conference. And sometimes I think part of Agile is doing everything in a collaborative way. But we realized with this particular problem, there was no way to cut the amount of content down without making someone unhappy. So this was a great problem to have, but a horrible problem to have as well.
Yeah.
So the leadership team, we picked the best balance of sessions we could based on how people voted. And we didn't make everyone happy, but I think we got the balance right. Mm-hmm. We ended up with a conference program that explored the key topics that we wanted to talk about. It gave a fair representation across all the roles from product management to user experience and engineering. And it filled the day from 9:30 in the morning to 5 at night with fantastic content. I was amazed at how quickly that came together. That naivety of how hard the conference is really helped us actually choose to do that. But then it came the day to the conference as well. And then that's when you realize that actually running a conference is really, really hard. There's all sorts of small things that conferences like InfoQ do and QCon to make the day run smoothly. And we had to kind of do all this from first principles. So there's simple things like getting the projector in the right place. But then there's the things that you don't really think about. How do you make sure you shuffle 40 people from one room to another and keep time? So there was a tremendous amount of help from people across Redgate. We had some excellent support from our own internal events team who run the SQL in the City conferences and so on. And we just about managed to get everything together by the day of the conference. And in terms of how the day went itself, I think it was one of the best days Redgate's ever had. Throughout the day, every single session was well attended. Every single session was attended by people in exactly the right frame of minds of I'm here to learn, I'm here to change the way we work in order to make an impact at Redgate. And the venue itself, a museum with aeroplanes from the Wright brothers right up to the SR-71 Blackbird, was a great space for people to be creative. I think in the introductory speech that I did, I made the analogies that the way the SR-71 Blackbird was created actually reflected some of the lean and agile principles that we're trying to apply here at Redgate. For those that don't know, the SR-71 Blackbird was delivered by the Skunk Works team, led by General Kelly. And that Skunk Works team has 12 rules of how they develop, or 14 rules apparently, as I'm Googling it to remind myself of it. And those rules are actually quite similar to the principles of Agile. So he talks about the number of people having any connection with the project must be restricted in an almost vicious manner. Use a small number of good people compared to normal systems. And I guess that's one of the lessons we've learned from Agile. Small teams empowered can accomplish great things.
As a leadership team, you obviously have a huge amount of trust in the people. If the ideas that had come up were, well, let's fire all the leaders or something like that, what did it feel like to create that trust space? Or how did you create that trust space?
I think that level of trust has always been something internal to the core of Redgate. One of our core values is transparency helps us continually improve. So if people think they should fire all the leaders, then we're obviously doing something wrong, so we should hear that. Part of being a leader is that aspect of humility, of being able to hear the uncomfortable truth and being able to do stuff about it. Mm-hmm. And actually, there was content along those lines. Mm-hmm. So at Redgate, we'd recently introduced a new development practice known as objectives and key results. Mm-hmm. So a brief summary of this practice is you can help encourage autonomy on a team by giving them an objective to achieve, expressed in terms of an outcome, so the change in the world that we want to see. And you can measure how you're doing to that objective by using key results. By creating that framing, you can leave the team alone, mm-hmm. and they can have that autonomy and empowerment that is so important for successful teams. So at least that's what we thought as leadership, that was what we thought we were providing to teams. But I guess one thing that surfaced as we were making the program is that wasn't necessarily how everyone was interpreting that. One particularly vicious interpretation of that might be, this is management by objectives. We are telling teams what to do and we're measuring them. And this wasn't our intent. But I guess throughout this conference session, we could see how we could have created the conditions for that to happen. And we ran a really open session on OKRs, are they worth it, which was the actual topic. It was well attended. We surfaced lots and lots of uncomfortable comments, but this was expertly facilitated. I should give a huge shout out to Chris Smith and Elizabeth Eyre for managing to keep that session on the straight and narrow. But what we got as output from that session was some suggested changes that we could make. We followed through with those changes and we've made good progress. I think that's what leadership is. We trusted people to tell us when something was genuinely wrong. We listened and we brought into their methods of changing it and we made those changes. And I think Redgate is a better place for that.
Thinking of some of the other themes or the themes of the conference, the scaling and keeping it simple and that outcomes focused. As you said, you're undergoing rapid growth, really, really successful. And scaling is always, it's always a challenge. Any advice or any ideas that you can share from that?
I think it's, again, listen to the teams. So another really empowering theme that came out was an insight into the stresses we were putting on the tech lead role. So the tech lead role at Redgate involves many different aspects. It involves managing the people on the team. It has some aspect of product management. It has some aspect of process control, and it has some aspect of technical excellence. Again, this is another one of those things where in the abstract, that sounds great. But there was an amazing talk from Julia, one of our tech leads, who explained her journey into the tech lead role at Redgate and how she felt at various places along that journey. And I guess the big takeaway from that is that role is structured in a way that makes it incredibly hard to recruit for. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard for us to grow the next generation of leadership within Redgate. So we took away some really great ideas from that about how we can build the next generation of technical leaders and how we can reduce the stress on the tech lead role itself. I think in any organizational structure you create, as you grow, you start to see stresses and strains at different points. I think it's just really important to step back, listen, and find out where those stresses and strains are and try to adapt them rather than moving into that kind of, it's easily tempting to think the structure you have at 50 people isn't the same structure that will work at 500 people and radically change things. I think incrementally listening and adjusting, continuously learning, it's basically agile organizational design, iterating on where you are today to get to where you need to be tomorrow. When we look at the conference, it costs about the same as sending two people to a flagship conference. So when we came back, we had to do the maths. Did we actually get the value from that? So I've talked about the value from the discussions around OKRs and technical leadership. And I think we probably could have got that just by soliciting feedback from individuals. I don't think we needed to have a conference to do that. So we did a survey to try and get a better understanding of whether people thought the conference was valuable. And actually 87% of people said the venue was fantastic. And 97% of people or so said that we should run it again next year. So again, that gave us the confidence that we'd done a decent event, but it didn't necessarily answer, was the event worth it for Redigate? But what I was most pleased with is that the stories that started to emerge on our Slack channels over the next few months. So that you'd hear stories like, hey, I saw Alicia presenting a technique on usability studies in the conference, and I'd like to apply that to my team and my problems. Or I heard Johnny talking about synthesizing research notes. And I guess that's what I saw as the true value of the conference, is it's knitted together those communities of practice. It's allowed ideas to transfer from one team to another. But most importantly, it has changed the way in which we work. People have used the ideas and techniques that they picked up from Level Up and actually applied that in their day-to-day work. So we're definitely committed to running this Level Up conference in 2018. And I feel that I can look our CEO in the eye and say that was totally worth a day off from everyone in the office.
Yeah, that's a significant investment.
It is. I mean, even if the financial cost is low, there's the organizational cost of having 100 people out of the office for the day.
Excellent, Jeff. Thank you very much for telling us that story. Quite inspirational. Advice for young players, for somebody who wants to, wow, this is a good idea. I wonder if I can do it in my place.
I think keep the naivety. Believe that you can do it in your place. If you want a place to start, I think going for an open space or even just a lunch and learn session is a great place to start. And if you've got the sort of company culture that people will come together, then I'm pretty sure great things will happen.
Excellent. So it all comes down to the people.
It's always about the people.
Jeff, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate your taking the time. And one day, maybe we'll get to do an InfoQ report from that conference.
Excellent. I'll add you to the invite list for next year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.